Hey, before we jump into the episode, I just wanted to let you know that our course and coaching program called Youth Ministry Growth Accelerator now offers a 3-month and 6-month payment plan, which makes enrolling easier than ever. Just head over to growyouthministry.com and sign up today. And as an added bonus, if you join by Friday, May 17th, we're offering a free student leadership launch workshop, which will help you build and launch your student leadership team from the ground up. I can't wait to see you in the program so we can start accelerating the growth of your youth ministry today. All right, let's get into the episode.
Are you trying to decide between a prepackaged camp or a DIY camp? Well, today we talk about the pros and cons of both. What's up, everybody? This is Jeff Lascola. With me, as always, is...
Kristen Lascola.
And welcome to another episode of the Ministry Coach Podcast, where we bring you weekly tips and tactics to help you fast-track the growth and health of your youth ministry. And today, we're talking all about camps.
Yes, and we're going to be talking all about camps today,
next week,
and the next week after.
Yeah, I think we are. Make sure you guys subscribe and hit that like button if you guys are listening on the podcast. We appreciate you subscribing there. And please leave us a review there and subscribe there also. And one more thing, question of the day. Make sure you guys stay to the end and you can listen to the question of the day and answer in the comments below. All right. I'll give you a hint. Just a little teaser. Moist.
That was the biggest hint. That was not a hint. That was the answer.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's not my answer, and that's what's important.
It's not.
No.
I forget your answer.
Well, you have to wait to the end. All right. So
I'll be
camps.
Here. Can't get out.
Today we're talking all about the, not just camps, but DIY camps versus prepackaged camps.
Yeah. So we're going to do a little bit of pros and cons for each. And none of this is stuff you probably, I mean, I don't know. I'm only speaking for myself, but maybe you're trying to decide what to do. Maybe you've been doing one or the other for a long time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're brand new and you just are like, I don't know which one to do. Let me start by saying I did prepackaged. I mean, lack of a better term,
right.
Like just a
camp in a box.
Like that makes it feel like I'm doing it. Like I got the box.
Oh,
I'm going to
okay.
do camp.
No, not camp in a box.
Like camp. Like you drive to a camp and
right.
they do the camp for you kind of thing. So around here, those camps are like Hume Lake or Forest Home.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. They're awesome camps. And up until, what year did I switch? Do you remember? Up until like five years ago.
5 years ago, I was gonna say, yeah.
Whoa. We're on the same page. Yeah, up until 5 years ago, I did the prepackaged camps. And I had done Forest Home. I had done Hume Lake. I've done them both. Those are camps local to us. And honestly, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
I really liked them. So we're going to start with the pros of those.
Okay.
So number one, obvious, very little prep.
Right.
I think the things you're responsible for are registration and transportation and depositing your money.
Yeah, getting your money in on time.
And that's about it. Like it was pretty...
promoting it, but you know, you have to do that either way, I guess.
Sure. I would say the hardest part though was registration and transportation for those. It's very little prep. There's usually way more rec options at those prepackaged camps because they have things like zip lines and snow runs, and they have all the tubes all ready for you if it's like a winter camp, or there's a great pool, a lake or in kayaks and a
archery,
blob,
things like that,
you know, and they facilitate the whole thing. It's like, it's time for the blob competition. And you know, they do all that fun stuff. One of my favorite things is that the food is taken care of because you just walk into the dining room at the designated times.
Right.
The food comes, the food leaves, you leave. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And I might be in the minority here, but I like camp food.
I would say the camps we went to, one was definitely better than the other.
They were both, but
I didn't complain. Actually, we've been doing this other camp, Palomar Christian Conference Center. If you're in the SoCal area, give it a check that out because that
Palomar Christian Conference Center.
Yes, it's on Palomar Mountain. It's very close to where we are, like 45 minutes from our house, but it is the best camp food I've ever had.
Oh,
like I wanted to take you on a date night there because when we get there on Friday nights, they do tacos. And I was like, no one, like, we could just march in with whatever group's there, get a table. They had like guacamole. Like, what camp has fresh made guacamole? Like, kids can't be trusted with guacamole. You don't give them good stuff. So you don't deserve guacamole.
You guys can put ketchup on your tacos. Right? That's all you
get.
They
don't care. But they like guacamole, and they had different like steak and chicken. And
that's how it's supposed to be.
It was delicious. I was like, oh my gosh. So yes. The food is done for you, which I absolutely love. Oh, and guess what else they have at Palomar? This
sushi.
Is more for the, I wish. This is more for the kids. Literally a soda fountain. So like there's cups and it's a whole Coke machine. Coke, Sprite.
That's really risky. Junior hires.
Right? But then for the adults, it's like, I mean, a lot of adults drink soda. But for me, I'll just speak for myself. There was like iced tea and there's hot chocolate and coffee. You just hot tea. You can go get it anytime you want. It's like a cruise.
It's like a cruise.
It's a cruise. It's fabulous. You get churros for dessert. I love it. Okay. We're getting on a food tangent. I'm getting really hungry. I think that's why I'm actually really hungry right now. And then program is already done for you. So that's a great thing too. You walk in, they have a theme. Mm-hmm. They have a speaker. They have the note sheets, the talk sheets. They have the games. The games like in chapel, you know, at Forest Home, like before we'd get started, there would always be this really fun big crowd game.
Yeah. Really your job was just getting them where they're
like, hey,
I saved
you guys a row or two. Right. Come and hang out. And I'm just here to enjoy.
Right.
You know, and those bigger camps, they put on some really excellent programs.
Yeah.
Like their worship. Fantastic.
Right.
Their videos, fantastic. Their crowd games. I remember people in these big giant hamster balls want like fantastic.
And they hype the kids up so well.
Yeah. You know, the staff is so like accommodating and nice. And you know, you feel super supported. Like, hey, they got this. I'm just keeping track of what kid's about to barf and, you know, I'm good. And so here's my number one pro for prepackaged camps is you get to focus on relationships and you're not facilitating. Like whether it's, hey, like, remember we would like, so at Forest Home late at night, there was like late night free time and we'd go to that like clubhouse where you can order like those coyote fries or that giant sundae. And we would
not play, very COVID friendly, but
not anymore.
Yeah.
But we would like order all this food and milkshakes. They were like famous for their milkshakes. And then we'd play like Nerds or Spoons or Anomia, like some fun game, like literally all night. And the kids would kind of come in and come out, but it was such a bonding thing for the leaders.
Yeah.
Like we were just like hanging and the kids, like I said, they would like play for a bit, then go do their thing. But we would just stay in this little central spot and they knew where to find us.
And you knew the kids were like taken care of.
Totally.
Like you didn't have this fear of like, maybe a little bit, where are they? But it was kind of like a certain area. They were supposed
it was like
to be
a little city.
Yeah. And like there was very so much
inclusive.
For them to do.
There
right
was a coffee shop and a bookstore.
Right.
And, you know, like so many free time options and they could just go explore.
And that
and
might not be
freedom.
The case with every single prepackaged camp.
True.
But,
all the ones I've been
them,
to, though, it's like awesome. And they just have things that it's like would be way too hard to buy yourself.
Right.
And the food quality is way better than you could do yourself. So I do like them. But here are the cons. And obviously I switched 5 years ago. And the number one reason I switched was money.
Yeah.
You know, I think I could have dealt with all the other cons, you know, because my cons list is pretty small. It's just they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is also a matter of taste because a con for some people is, well, I want to control like our theme and our message. Right. And like, I know what my kids need to hear and I want to vet the speaker and we want to bring our own
Which
worship
is all
band.
Valid points.
All valid points. This is purely personality.
Right.
I'm more like, how do you do? I'm going to kick back and hang out, you know? But if you are like, no, like I have a vision and I can't implement it because I'm here and there's not a lot of freedom. Some youth pastors just really want more freedom. So the con would be you really don't have any control over the content, over the worship, over the theme, over anything like that. Also, it's expensive. And then this one is, I don't know where this falls. I couldn't decide whether to put it under pros or cons because everyone sees it differently. When you're at a prepackaged camp, you're with many, many, many right. other people, other churches, whatever. I personally loved that.
Okay.
I thought that was, I loved the energy. I loved how many people there were. And then that's how we met Jeff Y.
Yeah.
You know, like,
shout out Jeff Y.
Woohoo. He was a guest, I don't know, a while ago.
Many weeks ago.
How to do online church. Check it out. He's so fun.
You definitely get an energy with a lot of people. Yeah. Unless you're coming from a youth group, it's like, our youth group's already 400 kids. So it's like, okay, you need to probably split yours into 2 weeks
totally.
For camp. But most, you know, church youth groups might be in that 10 to 50 kids, somewhere in there. And that can really benefit from maybe being around other churches.
Yeah, it's like that critical mass. Right. Like, we're going to play. Like, they did this, like, elf spaghetti thing, and it would be like, I'll do it. Yeah. You know, it's like
crickets.
Yeah. Like, it's just a weird energy. We, now that we do our own, we do combine with one of our other campuses. Our sizes are very compatible to yeah. create like, okay, this feels like energy. This right. feels good. You know?
And one is not like your youth group is 200 and ours is 5.
Right. So. Like who, but where there are
is,
you guys?
So what I was going to say about that though, is it's nice when you, I guess if you have just your kids, they're only bonding with each other.
And that's, I think, where most youth pastors would land.
Right. And because there's, I mean, I remember there was a kid, he said, he came back to the cabin. He said, oh, I got a girlfriend. There's like, just like that. This is junior hire. You got to love him. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, where's she from? Yeah, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, well, what church is she from? Because I'm thinking, I can probably figure out where it is. I don't know. And I'm like, well,
what's her name?
Her name? I think it's like Jessica or Jenny. I'm it's like, how is this your Jessica, girlfriend? Right? but the bummer is, it's like, not that you're like, I want you to date girls from our own church, but your kids are intermingling with these other kids.
Keep it in the family. Which is like,
they might be building these relationships that literally are going to last for 5 days.
Right.
Which it's like, well, then it'd kind of be nice, not the dating thing again, but like if the kids are bonding with each other so closely, because that 5 days is like, intense, like
sure.
5 day, what do they say, every day of camp is 3 months of youth ministry or something like that.
I always say a week of camp is like 6 months of youth ministry.
Okay, well, I was a little off, but it's same idea though, like sure. where it's like, if you're spending that much time with these people, you'd hope that it would be getting to know the people that you are right. always going to youth ministry,
exactly,
not some random girl who might be named Jessica or Jennifer who goes to some church you don't even know of and you'll never see her again.
And you're convincing me that way, you know, like right. hearing you talk. So that's why I didn't know where to put it. Like, is it a pro? Is it a con? I don't know. Depends on the size of your youth group. Depends on your preference. Depends on what you're looking for.
And your kids too, because sometimes I think they can grow. Hey, we fellowshiped with these other kids from another church. How awesome is that? You right. know, and I guess maybe it's more of this, the dating thing that could be bad.
Right.
But when they are just like, we met these rad kids from, you know, Glendora and they were really cool and blah, blah, blah. You'll never probably talk to them again, but it is kind of just like a cool experience for them to just see other Christians and, you know.
Like, yeah, like, whoa, look at the church.
Right.
You know, like,
there's not just us.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think I could really be convinced either yeah. way. Probably depends what kind of mood I'm in, you know, like whatever. So
that just, could go either way.
Let's just call it a factor,
yeah.
not a pro, not a con, just a factor. So, and then moving on to doing your own camp, you know, obviously the pros and cons could be just the opposite of right. the other ones, but you know, obviously the pros are you have freedom of schedule, of content, of location, you know, you don't have any boundaries. It's usually cheaper, you know, because you can set the menu, you right. can set the distance or the transportation or, you know, anything like that, custom made for your youth group. And, you know, you can choose the location. Like we have a ministry at our church. It's our high school ministry at our Vista campus. And they've done some, like they'll rent out really nice houses mm-hmm. in Indio. And so it's like not a campground necessarily, but it's like these, like go on VRBO or whatever, yeah. like these houses that are meant to house like I think they did like a celebrity one once. Oh, wow. Like Justin Bieber had stayed there when he went to Coachella or something. Anyways, but it's like these huge houses that are meant for a lot of people, right. And they rent all of them on one street.
Oh,
so
that's
like
cool.
All the junior girls are at one house. All the junior boys are at another, senior girls, senior boys. And so they have these four giant houses, all with a pool, whatever. They do stuff just as junior girls and whatever. And then they all come together for like block parties and do stuff. I think that's a brilliant camp. Can't do that with junior hires. They are not housebroken. Don't let them in anyone's nice house.
I was going to say high school is a different beast because I think they're also more just chill and relaxed by nature.
They're like, let's hang out. Junior hires are like, I want to know where the zip line is.
And yeah. What are we doing next? I'm bored. What are you doing next? Whereas high schoolers, it's like, is there a couch? You know, can we sit and hang out? And they're a little more okay with that. Going back to the house thing, what would you think about maybe a smaller group renting out a house, a house?
I think as long as it's not super nice, if it were junior
hires. For high school.
Oh, totally. Like if it's in a cool location, like driving distance to something like a lake or the beach or, something.
Or if it has a pool.
Or if it has a pool, but like, I don't know. I think at some point you're going to want to get out and like go somewhere, but yeah, like that's kind of, I'm sure a lot of youth pastors are going that way now, like a cool VRBO. Right. If you have a smaller group, that's what I do with my leaders. We're a staff of 22 and not everyone can come obviously. Right. And we fit in one cabin. So if you have a youth group about that size, then yeah, like get a rad cabin somewhere, do your own camp, go into town, do whatever. If you're more outdoorsy type, my camp, we are camping. So we go, I've mentioned on a previous episode, I'm sure, up to the Klamath River, and we do whitewater rafting with a company called Adventure Whitewater. So if you happen to be up in that area and didn't know Adventure Whitewater existed, just type it into Google, contact them. They are...
That's like by the Oregon-California border.
Yeah, like you get to the Oregon border and then you like go a hard left to the west and you like start heading toward the
ocean.
Good
for you, knowing left was west. You had to think about it, didn't you?
Shut up. No, I was just I was accessing my mental map in my brain, okay? And so that was far for us. It's like a 2-day drive, but it's actually still cheaper than going to a prepackaged camp, even with renting all these 15 passenger vans. We'll get more into that next week when we do like how to do your DIY camp, like all the things you check boxes. Cause that's another reason actually I didn't do it for a long time because it was so intimidating. And I just loved the safety of going to these prepackaged camps because to think of planning a camp from start to finish, all by myself, every detail, every food, every safety measure.
Daunting.
It was like, I can't do that.
Right.
But actually I can. And I have done it for 5 years. So you can too. Anyways, so yeah. Or another, if you're in a beach area, getting a beach campground. We've done that with our fourth and fifth graders. Mm-hmm. One of our other local churches does that with their junior high and high school. It's like this kind of like famous like beach camp, that's super fun. So it just depends if you want to go bougie or outdoors or what your students can handle and what they're in the mood for. But you do have a lot of options of where to go. Another thing I know some youth groups do is more of like road tripping. And so they like map out where they want to go and they just call churches along the way. Like, hey, can we stay here for a night, here for a night? And then like they go to different theme parks or different, and then on the way visit different churches and who knows, like whatever you want to do. But that was, I thought, a really creative idea for a DIY also.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pros to it, but there are a few cons, and I'm sure this doesn't even need to be stated because you're already like, yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's the major con, is it is a lot of work. I give myself a little reprieve from planning, but I'm usually planning my camp 9 months out of the year, to different levels of intensity, like super far out. I'm not like super far out. I don't know why that's
groovy, man.
Super far out. Like when it's super far out, I don't do like all the nitty gritty details, but there is some groundwork to lay for 9 months of the year. You're doing camp. So anyways, yeah, it's a lot of work. And then you have to plan everything. So one of the hardest parts is the human resources that you need, meaning like, are you going to a body of water? Well, you need probably a lifeguard or someone who is, that's their one job. You're taking kids to water. Camps have lifeguards on duty every time there's a kid in the water. Do you have someone with medical training going with you? Because believe me, someone's going, not if they get hurt, they will 100% get hurt doing something or get a weird insect bite. One of our girls got bit by a rat one year.
In fairness, she was trying to catch the rat.
She did. She tried to catch the rat and the rat won. It was like this battle of wills. But yes, and we called her parents and she was, the mom was like, yeah, it's not the first time
she
this
does that.
Happened. Like, oh, you're not mad. I see. Good. Yeah. So you definitely have to prepare more mentally and resource wise for emergencies when you're on your own. Like, who's going to cook?
Yeah.
You're not going to cook. Your small group leaders probably aren't going to cook. Is there someone who's coming with you who can cook? So stuff like that. Lifeguard, cook, medical,
drivers to get there.
Yes. There's, you know, again, we'll go through more of that next week, but it's a lot of the people necessary to pull it off. Cause it's not just me and my volunteers, like, let's go to the forest. Right. It's like, well, who knows how to tow a giant trailer because we have a lot of stuff we have to bring. And, you know, how do we pack all the food to keep it cold on a 2-day trip? And it's like, it's a lot.
No, that also depends on how far away you're going to. Realistically, someone could be like 30 minutes down the road.
Yeah, I'm just saying like those. Your parents can drop you off. That's the best kinds of camp, when the parents drop them off and pick them up.
That's, is it? Because do they really pick up on time?
This year they did.
Oh, wow.
Everyone was gone. It was like clock. It was smooth operation. Hmm. So it was wonderful. And then the other major con is that while you're there, you are usually the facilitator and coordinator.
Yeah.
And instead of like chilling and hanging out, a lot of times you're problem solving and getting the program ready for the evening gathering and making sure the speaker has what they need. And okay, you know,
worship team too.
Yeah.
It's another one.
Yeah. You have to bring your own worship team and all the equipment so that they can play and be heard. And you have to create an ambiance. So are you bringing lights and or market light? You know, it's stuff like that. And most of the time, like, I'm just running around solving problems.
Right.
And, oh, this kid has a fever. I need to go check in on them. Do they need to call their parents? Even if we have a medical person who alleviates a ton of that, which I would recommend, don't ever do your own camp without a medical person. I did it and paid dearly. You know, sometimes at the end of camp, like, you have this camp high because you're like, yeah, we're all like family now.
Right.
And it's so wonderful. And there's still that element. But a lot of times it's like, well, one person has to stay behind to get lunch ready. You know, I'll do it so that everyone else can go, or, you know, just like little things like that. You're not going to be as relationally involved. And like you said, that also depends on the size of your group. If, you know, when I take my 22 leaders up to the mountains and we're like chilling in a cabin, I'm not like, oh, I feel like I'm coordinating everything, you know? So if it's a simple camp in a small group, you probably will.
And it's what you make it. Because if you want to go overboard, not overboard, if you want to go extravagant and make it really cool and all these fun, you know, like you're saying, market lights and, you know, and a generator and, you know, all these things, it could be a little more time consuming, a lot more work to be able to do it. But maybe you're like, we don't need the full worship band. We just need someone who's playing an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's certain things you can probably scale back, maybe just based off of your size.
Yeah.
Or what your goals are for the week. So,
yep, I agree with that.
But we'll go over all of that next week when we do the DIY camp playbook, which will include checklists for you and everything else that you guys can download. It is now time for
the question of the day,
which obviously is, what word?
What is the most moist thing
is
in
better
the world?
Than moist. moist. What is obviously the question of the day is, what? Let's say, what two words do you just loathe?
Kind of gives you this like cringy squeals.
Right. Moist isn't. It doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't bug me that much.
It's pretty gross.
It's kind of gross, but it's not. I don't know. That's like, you know, most people's number one
is like damp is means the same thing.
The word in itself doesn't bother me. It's when it's descriptive of something.
Yeah. Like a moist wound.
Or if you said like, I went to sleep and the mattress was moist. I'd be like, okay, that's gross.
What if I gave you some chocolate cake and you're like, oh, this is so moist.
Yeah, it wouldn't bug me.
Okay. So speaking of camp, this became my least favorite word while at camp, Forest Home. One of my girls had like this bug bite or something, and every night she would put ointment on it. And she like kept like looking around, has anyone seen my ointment? And I was like, Drea, can I just say right now we're making a rule. You can't say ointment the rest of this week. Like you can't. She goes, well, what should I say?
Medicated cream.
I said, just say my cream, my lotion, something like that. But like,
we all know what you're talking about.
I feel like I'm going to gag when you say ointment. Please stop. And she like thought it was the funniest thing. And so luckily she actually listened, because sometimes when you tell junior hires that, they'll just go, ointment, ointment, you know. Sounds like a pig word.
Oinkment.
So yeah, that's
mine. Do you have a second, or you just want to stick with the one?
This one's weird. I don't like the word prostrate.
Okay. It's one of those words that,
like, can't you just say laying face down? Why do you have to say
prostrate? And it's so close to prostate that every time I say either, I'm like, wait, which did I say? And was it the right one?
I just feel like too close for comfort.
Yeah. I think off the top of my head, I wouldn't even know which one was which until I hear them both. Prostrate is laying down.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine would be journal. I think it sounds too close to urinal.
Whoa. I did not see that coming.
That word just bugs me. And then the other one I would say is probably, oh, I just had it. Now I forgot what it was. Oh, the other one is, I've actually used this word before. I just don't like it, but it's behoove. That would behoove you. Just a weird word.
It's pretentious.
That and maybe just the hooves, like you're like a horse or something.
Yeah, it's very cattle.
It doesn't gross me out. It just bothers me. But yeah. I've said it and I regret saying it.
To whoever I said behooved to, I would just like to apologize. You know who you are. I think I know what behooved means.
Yeah.
Does it mean like it would benefit you?
Yeah, basically.
It would be good.
It would serve you well or serve us well.
Right. Behoove.
Yeah, it's just dumb.
It sounds like you're removing hooves. Like, oh, are you going to go behoove that calf or that cow or the horse? Like, take his hooves off.
That would make more sense, and I probably would appreciate it
more. Because it's like dehooved.
Right.
I've been dehooved. You know, like what a horse says, I've been dehooved.
Right.
Anyways, so comment below, what is the word that bugs you?
Or words, plural. You can add more than one. And make sure you guys check out next week's episode where we talk all about DIY camps. We will see you then. We'll be right back.